I remember the moment clearly. I was going through paperwork from a mother's estate when I came across some file folders containing letters. They were letters between my mother and my sister. And as I read them, my heart skipped a beat. Because they were talking about me. Personal and private things I had only shared with my mom. I was speechless. I put the letters down and just sat there staring at them. And then the feeling started. Anger at first, then betrayal. And honestly, I felt ashamed, like somehow I had done something wrong. And then the question started. Who else had Mom told? How long had she been talking about me behind my back? And if you've ever experienced something similar to this, then you know exactly how I felt. But what I've learned since then is this, that this behavior is a pattern and is called triangulation. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you're done with people-pleasing, tired of repeating the same patterns, and ready to learn what healthy relationships actually look like, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. At 65, I started learning the things I wish I'd known decades ago, like how to see the patterns, why we keep repeating them, and how to finally treat ourselves with the respect we always deserved. And somewhere along the way, I realized something that changed everything. When we don't understand our patterns, we pass them on. Not because we're bad parents, but because no one ever showed us anything different. That realization drives everything I do. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. Most people think triangulation is just about conflict, but it's actually about something deeper. It happens when two people in a family have a conflict they don't want to face, such as anger they don't want to admit to, resentment they don't want to talk about, or something they did that they're not willing to own up to. So instead of talking directly to each other, one of them drags in another family member. For example, a mother will tell her daughter things about her father that the daughter never needed to know. A parent will recruit a child to take sides in an argument with the other parent. Or two parents who refuse to talk to each other start using their adult child as the go-between. But as mentioned, triangulation doesn't always look like a fight. Sometimes it looks exactly like what happened to me when I found those letters between my mother and my sister. It's when someone shares information about you with someone else that was never theirs to pass along. And suddenly, you are the subject of a conversation you were never part of. When that happens repeatedly, you start to withdraw. You stop sharing. You become guarded with the very people who are supposed to be closest to you. And quietly, without even realizing it, you stop trusting yourself. Because if the person who was supposed to keep your secrets didn't, you start wondering what you did wrong. You start questioning your own judgment. And that self-doubt, once it takes root, is very hard to shake. And over time, you start to feel like you are the problem, not because you are, but because the tension that belongs between two other people keeps passing through you instead of being resolved between them. That is not a character flaw. That is what happens to someone who has been used as a pressure valve in other people's relationships. There's also something that happens to your nervous system that people rarely talk about. When triangulation is constant, your body learns to stay on alert. You're always scanning the room. Oh, who is upset with whom today? Who is allied with whom? Am I safe right now, or am I about to be blamed? That kind of hypervigilance doesn't stay just in the family. It follows you into friendships, into your workplace, and into other relationships because your nervous system learned that this is simply how relationships work. And this connects directly to something I talked about in last week's episode about trauma bonding. When triangulation exists inside a toxic or narcissistic relationship, it creates a very powerful push and pull dynamic. One day you're the favorite. The next day, you're pushed aside. One day, someone confides in you. The next day, they're confiding in someone else about you. Mixed into all of that confusion are moments of warmth and kindness that keep you hoping things will get better. That unpredictability creates a powerful attachment pull, not because you're weak, but because that's exactly how the human brain responds when love and hurt come in unpredictable cycles. You're not too sensitive. You're reacting exactly the way a person reacts when they've been placed inside a family system designed to keep them unsure. And in many families, triangulation eventually creates roles that tend to stick. One person often ends up being blamed for everything. That's the family scapegoat. Another person may seem to do no wrong. Oh, the favorite. Someone else spends their time trying to keep the peace, smoothing things over so nobody explodes. And sometimes there's the person who gets pulled aside and told things they were never supposed to know. These roles keep the family system running because as long as everyone stays in their lane, nobody has to face what's actually going on. There's also an unspoken rule that runs through many triangulated families. Here it is. Don't talk to the person you're upset with. Talk about them. Vent to someone else. Complain to someone else. Send messages through someone else. As long as that rule stays in place, the triangle stays intact and nothing ever gets resolved. And that's another reason triangulation is so hard to recognize. For many people, it is simply normal. You grow up believing this is how families communicate. This is how conflict works. This is what love looks like. So when someone finally names the pattern, it can feel unsettling. Not because the pattern is new, but because you suddenly realize it has a name and it's been happening your entire life. The moment the pattern begins to break is when someone asks a very simple question. Why are we talking about them instead of talking to them? That question is often the first crack in the foundation. For years, something felt off in my family. I couldn't name it. I couldn't prove it. But my instincts kept telling me that conversations were happening about me in rooms I wasn't in. And then I found those letters. The personal information in those letters was about my finances, a time in my life when I was struggling. Something I had shared with my mother in confidence, the way you share something painful with someone you trust. And there it was, in writing, between my mother and my sister. What I will never know is whether my mother told my sister the whole truth, whether she told her that I had turned things around, or whether she shaped the story the way she needed to shape it to make me look like the problem. Because that is what I am in my family, the scapegoat. But what finding those letters gave me was something I had never had before. Proof! Proof that my instincts had been right all along. And as painful as that was, there was something quietly validating about it. Once I saw that pattern clearly, I started seeing it everywhere in my family. Conversations that had never made sense suddenly made sense. Reactions I couldn't explain started to have explanations. And then something else happened to me. I stopped trusting people, not just my mother, not just my sister, but people in general. Because when the person who is supposed to be your safe place turns out to be the one talking about you behind your back, you stop knowing who is safe. I became a very private person. I still am. I share carefully. I think before I speak. And while some of that has served me well, I also know it came from a wound, from learning the hard way that not everyone who loves you can be trusted with your truth. So what do you actually do when you realize you are living inside a triangulated family system? Here are three things I've learned that I hope will help you too. The first thing you do is name what is happening. When you feel dragged into someone else's conflict, stop and ask yourself one question. Whose problem is this, and is it actually mine to solve? That one question is more powerful than it sounds, because triangulation works by making you feel responsible for something that was never yours to begin with. Once you can name that pattern, you stop feeling confused and guilty, and you start seeing the situation clearly. That you were put in the middle of someone else's relationship, and it is not your job to fix it. The second step is to refuse the role. Now that you see the triangle, you stop participating in it. And that usually starts with one simple, calm sentence you can say, such as, "I care about you, but I'm not comfortable being in the middle of this." Or, "Have you talked to them directly about this?" Or simply, "I think this is something you need to talk about with them." You are not being rude. You are not being disloyal. You are just refusing to be involved with something that doesn't involve you. And the third thing you need to know is this, that when you step outside the triangle, the family system will react. Family members may tell you that you don't care. They may call you difficult or say you are making things worse. But what is actually happening is that the family system is losing the person who kept the peace, so they don't have to. When you stop playing that role, the tension has nowhere to go, and that makes people uncomfortable. That does not mean your boundary is wrong. It usually means the pattern is starting to break. And when it comes to protecting yourself in a toxic family system, you have to get very intentional about what you share and with whom. Not everyone deserves access to your personal life. Not everyone has earned the right to know your struggles or your private thoughts. I learned that the hard way. You will also have to accept that the talking behind your back will not stop. And that is a painful truth. But your job is not to control what other people do with your name when you are not around. Your job is to stop sharing personal information with people who have shown you they cannot be trusted with it. And if you're a parent, the most important thing you can do for your children is to never put them in the middle. That means you do not share your relationship problems with them. You do not ask them to pass messages to the other parent. You do not ask them to take sides. And you do not use them as a sounding board for your own frustration. That is not their job. When you have a problem with someone, you go directly to that person. Model what a direct, honest conversation looks like. Because your children are watching everything you do. And what they see you do is what they will grow up believing relationships are supposed to look like. If you grew up in a triangulated family system, breaking that pattern with your own children is one of the most powerful things you can do. You are not just protecting them. You are ending a cycle that may have been running in your family for generations. In summary, triangulation is one of those patterns that can run through a family for years, sometimes for generations, without anyone ever naming it. Also, triangulation is about what happens when people cannot face each other directly. It is about the family roles that get assigned without anyone ever asking. Triangulation is about private information being passed along behind your back, the alliances that form, and the tension that keeps moving from person to person instead of being resolved. And if you've spent years feeling like the problem, feeling confused, feeling like you could never quite trust your own instincts, know this, you are not the problem. You were placed in the middle of one. And recognizing that is when things begin to change for you. The triangle loses its power the moment you decide to step out of it. And that decision starts with you. Whether you're starting to understand yourself more clearly, working through old family dynamics, or learning to do things differently, you're building the skills that help you grow into the person you are meant to be. Listening is important, but real change happens when you use what you've learned. So choose just one thing from today and try it out this week. That's when things begin to shift. And if you want more life lessons like this, be sure to follow Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. If this episode resonated with you, there's a link in the show notes to show your appreciation. Either way, I'm grateful for you being here. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?